Welcome to our study of Hebrews chapter 12. The author has been reminding the Hebrews that they have not come to anything that resembles Mount Sinai. They have come instead to Jesus Christ and to a gracious God. That's the paragraph we have been discussing for the past 2 days, beginning with verse 18. And the writer told them that if anyone touched the mountain, even if an animal touched it, they should be stoned to death. And the people who were there at Mount Sinai were terrified. The significance of the warnings given to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai is that the God who came to them to give them the law is a holy God. He has astounding holiness. No one can approach him and live. That frightening experience at Mount Sinai is God's commentary on the law. It does not rest on faith. Those who want to live by it must do it or be judged. The law condemns the lawbreaker and everyone who would be justified by it. But these Hebrew Christians have come to something other than the law and Mount Sinai. They haven't come to Judaism. God wants them to leave Judaism, and they have come to this. Romans 8:1 expresses it, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Now, who in our listening audience wants a law relationship instead of grace? If there be even one person, let him read what is written here and tremble. A man living by the holy law of God has no hope, because to fail in even one point of the law makes him guilty of all. Now, I didn't say that. That comes from our New Testament. There is no mercy in the law, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. That's Galatians 3:10. No wonder the epistles to the Church of Jesus Christ press on us the message, "You are not under law, but under grace." It tells us that the written code kills, and that speaks of the law, but the Spirit gives life. It also says, "Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ." And then it adds this in Romans 7, "But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive." And in Hebrews 7, we read, "The law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, a better hope is introduced." And in Hebrews 10, we read this, "He abolishes the first in order to establish the second." People who come to Jesus Christ have come to the second covenant. But there are people today who are promoting living by the Ten Commandments. And most people will say, even Christian people, "You mean we shouldn't live by the Ten Commandments?" Let me say this. Nowhere in the New Testament epistles do you find any Christian being told to live by the Ten Commandments. They were told to walk by the Spirit, to live in love, and to grow in grace. And at the same time, they were warned against the law. But some people say, "But the Ten Commandments are excluded from that statement about the law." Oh, not according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen again to verse 6. "Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, in letters engraved on stones, came with glory..." Now, what were those letters engraved on stones? The only part of the law that was given on stone was the Ten Commandments. It is a ministry of death. Anyone who relies upon it, and everyone who breaks even one of those Ten Commandments, is doomed forever. because God has a law. The soul that sins must die. So the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 18 says, "You have not come to Mount Sinai. To what have they come then?" Well, verse 22 tells them, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." That's different from Mount Zion on earth and from the earthly Jerusalem. "And you have come to innumerable angels in festal gathering and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." Friends, that's the church. "And to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Ah, they have the perfection of Jesus Christ through faith. All of his righteousness has been given to them. And these Hebrews have come to Jesus, we read in verse 24, the mediator of a new covenant. These are New Testament believers. They're under the new covenant. And they have come to the sprinkled blood. That's the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Now, Mount Zion is not on earth. It refers to God's dwelling place in heaven. Believers have no mountain of God down here. There's nothing to touch. Mount Zion initially was the Jebusite city which David captured in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and he ruled there for 33 years. The Ark of God was there, and later Zion came to mean the city of Jerusalem. That very talented hymn writer, Isaac Watts, from the 18th century, knew where Zion was when he wrote, "We're marching to Zion." The chorus reads, "We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God." But he also disagrees with Hebrews chapter 12, and I suppose we ought to forgive a songwriter. Most of them were not theologians. The writer to the Hebrews says, "You have come." He didn't say, "You're marching," or "You are on your way." Friends, we are there when we believe. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are not trying to become Christians. We are Christians. We're not trying to become children of God. God declares that we are His children. Unlike the songwriter, the Apostle Paul agrees with the writer to the Hebrews. In Ephesians 2:6, he tells us that God raised us up with Him and made us sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So friends, we are not marching to Zion. Now that's how certain our salvation is. The writer tells the Hebrews in verse 22 that they have come to an innumerable number of angels. Angels surround the throne of Jesus Christ. And he said, "You have come to the assembly of the firstborn." What's the significance of the firstborn? In the Old Testament and throughout Scripture, the firstborn was the heir. The inheritance belongs to him. And in verse 23, talks about the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Yes, if you have believed in Christ, your name is written there, and God does not have an eraser on His pencil. We also learn from Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, that no one can enter the temple in the heavenly Jerusalem whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now in verse 23, he also mentions, "to a judge who is God of all." Abraham in Genesis 18:25 referred to God as the judge of all the earth when he said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He knew the judge. And what about the spirits of just men made perfect? Well, these were Old Testament saints. But they were not made perfect until Christ came to make one offering and perfect them forever. Hebrews 11:40 told us that. It says, since God had foreseen something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And the they refers to all those people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 who had faith and were commended for their faith. Habakkuk the prophet said that the just shall live by faith. So these people had faith. And if they were just, then they certainly had faith. There is no other way to be just apart from faith. Because if we try to come before God in our own goodness and our own righteousness, since it is imperfect righteousness, we cannot be justified. And God looks at us as sinners rather than as just men. But the writer here in Hebrews chapter 12 talks about just men made perfect, made by God, that is. When we believe in Jesus Christ, God declares us righteous in His sight forever. That's justification. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that never again need I fear God, for He has accepted me and declared me right with Him. I may not be right in your sight, or in the sight of the world, but as far as God is concerned, He has said and promised that I am right. He said it to Abraham, He said it to men in the New Testament age, and He says it to us today. If you believe in Jesus Christ, all of His righteousness will become your righteousness. That's being just. Now in verse 23, he talks about the spirits of just men made perfect, not their bodies. They were perfected before the resurrection and are with the Lord. These, of course, are the saints of the Old Testament who are in heaven with the Lord. Now we too are already perfected through faith. Already, you say? According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, listen to it. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. This talks about Christ's single offering for sins. After He made that sacrifice of Himself on the cross, He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Everything was finished to make us perfect. Now many people don't have that perfection because they haven't believed God and therefore they haven't received what God has promised. Keep in mind that the body will die, but the spirit is eternal. Therefore, man needs his spirit perfected. And that is accomplished through faith. If you've been listening to this broadcast for a while, you have concluded that the Radio Bible Course is not a denominationally related broadcast. And that conclusion is correct. This ministry belongs to those listeners who have kept us on the air by their gifts and prayers. They are valuable partners in this Bible-centered ministry. Without such partners, we could not continue these daily Bible teaching classes. All gifts are used to pay for the broadcast and our printed materials, which are sent free to our listeners. No gifts are used for salaries or benefits to anyone. We'd like to know if God is using these Bible teaching broadcasts to help you. If so, please tell us about it. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.